Mercy, mercy, what's the matter with me? I just ain't the same like I used to be. I wake up in the morning feeling kind of weird, looking around for my glasses, teeth, hearing aid, shorts, and beard. I wake up in the morning looking around for my shoes. All I can find are these looking around blues.
Old man looks for mountain, appearing at evening, cold, distant peak. His wine tastes of Bing cherries and crisp bacon, a white breath in the palest sky. Old man seeks the mountain, northeast it has risen, a heap of snow, ritual music at high altitude, peapod and lavender. Old man can't miss the mountain, diamond white, cold beer in hand, warm feet, thinks of travelers by ferry boat riding the hot breeze. Old man pauses, looks, no mountain. Death again in Afghanistan, lost in the clouds, in the snows of battle, so many tearful farewells. Four, one. Old man looks at the mountain, says to the singing birds, I'm shrinking. Mountain is there and not there. The habit of mountains. Old man, shorter than life, hair thins, teacup fine, nails gnarled, old pines, afraid of what's going on. There's something in everybody's eggs. Jets scramble like roosters when some joker jacks their shells. Old man onion-skinned, desires a sweetmeat, apricot, and the sun sets where a persimmon-winged bird flies, which pleases him instead. Old man and the mountain, the sun on them gone. Cloudless sky, clear and pale green, rosy the mountain darkens, the snow across its face, a dancing horse racing north. This is all Mount Baker out of my window.
George LeRoy Tire Biter. Hubba, hubba, George. What a suit. Well, it's nice to see you looking like you're back on your feet again, George, and ready to play our little game again.
Thank you very much.
George, first a tip for our viewers, maybe. How does an old man like you stay alive?
Well, sir, I try to get up every morning and watch television all day, Mr. Yarrow.
Do you have a special diet, George?
I don't eat.
You don't eat?
No, but it hasn't affected my appetite.
Well, George,
you don't have any little groat clusters I can chew on, maybe, do you?
Later, George. You won't want to eat in a minute after you turn your back and get ready for this stab from the past.
Oh, my.
Hello? Are you there, George?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Wow. National Surrealist Party vice presidential candidate.
I'm amazed.
George Leroy
Tireby.
You're
still there. I mean,
that's... Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be. It's my 102nd birthday coming up.
Wow.
And I still have a lot of energy. Fortunately, this was not an election, national election year for me, so
yes.
I didn't run for vice president again.
Yes.
But in 2 years, well, with the age of the candidates, they'll look like young guys compared to me. I'll be 104.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it's important to have an elder statesman leading the march, even if you are in a wheelchair.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Mama, what's the matter with you? You ain't doing like you used to do. Acting tired in the middle of the day. Acting too tired to come out and play. Acting so tired like you got nothing to lose. Ah, Mommy, you're giving me these too tired blues.
Old man, in the thunder of his years, sees his friends gone to heaven, or living still, presented by actors. Odysseus at sea, old man, the poet himself, looks in vain. Then new snows shine pink in the low sun. Old man thinks, I'm going to breathe lightness. Mountain rests under fresh snow. Old man thinks, the rain will wash away the bird shit from my porch. Old man takes the boat across, docks, sterns, swinging north with the tide. All the way, gold leaked from his pockets. Old man time, warmth of noon, peanut butter sandwich, heart of night, stumbling to go and piss. An old man's time must be time to turn down the light, turn back the clock, sit on the edge of the tumbled bed for a sip of water. Then's when the old man thinks how mountain rests comfortably in its own time. Winter, one. Bright piece out of pale sky. Mountain slips away. Then the bone moon struck the bay. The day it most threatens snow, the mountain's top is out, redoubled, toothpaste bright in cloud. Old man brings orange fireworks in from the frost, contemplates the crossword, keeps his eye on mountain's vanishing act, contemplates chocolate, chooses rum toddy, broth with rice. Nap. Number 19, birthday last year. Old man eats alone. Dawn reveals nothing. Icy suburb offers nothing but sugar and fat, nails and lube. What a time to be born these days. Collapse one into the next. Old man sticks his feet out, sticks his face out. Of an age to answer back today, of an age to ink a scroll, a set of screens, a vista, the mountain and the old man at once, blazing, bathed in imperial apricot, fire over water, retired alone behind passages of gray, shielded, water above earth. Winter two. The moon acted crazy last night. Is that the mountain, she said, or a cloud disguised, she asked. Too bright to look at, cut from thin ice, mountains out today. Maybe Marines will be out tomorrow, the old man wished. Mountain settles into solstice, just paler than the sky. Early nightfall brings on the wine.
You know, Rex?
Yeah, I think that's me.
Well, I've been drinking this popular brand of beer pretty near 100 years. I'm still so depressed.
Me too. I can't even line dance anymore.
You boys are down in the dumpsters because your adult beverage is only an alcoholic enhanced dietary supplement.
How come you're so peppy, Roy?
Here, take a swig of what my grandkids put me on, the last Roundup.
I'll try anything.
Polar Pro.
Dang, I do feel a whole lot less suicidal.
And I got the Texas Trots again.
Yee-haw! Polar Pro, a prescription beer for older Americans with natural Alaskan bear urine and Prozac. Consult your doctor if you're pregnant, over 80, and operating heavy equipment.
Yee-haw! Dixie. Who are those two old guys over in booth six?
Oh, those are a couple of regular old guys, Bill Oldman and Uncle Dave. They always come in for the senior special. Let me go take care of them.
Bill, you don't mind if I sit down here next to you, do you? Well, you were sitting, Uncle Bob.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Anyway,
I'd like to sit on my lap.
I'm 89, as I was saying yesterday, and I still have my own teeth right here in my jacket pocket.
Those are nice. Just stop nipping at my elbows.
You know, my daughter-in-law asked me yesterday, how do you get children to brush their teeth, Billy? Well, Edith, or Angel Dutch, actually. She changed her name to Angel Dutch back in the 60s. Honey, I said Irish whiskey. You know, I always brush with Irish whiskey.
Don't let the cat out of the doggy bag
It tastes good and it numbs your gums.
Listen, I don't want to sound a sour note, Uncle Bob, but let me let you in on a little secret sauce.
Yeah, what? Oh, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really get that on your loofer.
So anyway, I said use Irish whiskey flavoring with the kids, which you can get in any convenience store in Europe. I remember seeing it there during one of the wars, you know, the one that we won.
If I wanted a nighttime story, I would have been at the motel.
So, anyway,
I'm Flemished.
I may have come across it on one of those cruises I took with my late wife, who was, I believe, still living at the time.
She's not here yet.
No.
She's late.
She is. She's my late wife. Anyway, brushing with whiskey will benefit the kids in two ways, Bill. First, they'll be brushing their teeth. And one, they will learn to hate strong liquor early in the morning, and they won't grow up like their Uncle Dave.
Oh, you put some of that on your hair, and you'll really have some salve on your neck.
Can I have some of that?
I'd like the facial.
Can I order that?
This is the facial combo platter. Oh. Have you tried it?
Oh, you just popped my hearing aid right out.
This is
you hear that?
The Popeye peas.
Doggone it. Let me turn it up
olive
a little
loaf.
Bit.
Are you boys ready to order yet?
Who are you?
Oh, hello, I'm Dixie.
Oh, Dixie, hello.
I've been motioning
sweetheart.
To you all night.
Well, I told you to watch your hands.
Let's see what we got here.
Uncle Bob, would you like the iced earlobe with puncture tool?
I'll have my regular, the meatloaf suppository and a glass of glycerin, two straws.
Now, boys, I thought you might want something soft, like scrambled cigs with uplinks.
I don't smoke anymore. Have you got any specials?
What?
Let me look at the menu.
Look at this. There's those.
Half price specials. I'll have the half-baked Medicare cakes with the Hillary sauce.
Oh, very good.
They still have fiddle ferns and their own permanent onion rosin.
Boys, I
Who's
have
going to
very...
pay for that, by the way?
Listen, what about the Gillespie greens and a puff cheek pastry?
We don't have
thinking about it makes me dizzy.
Right out,
Dixie,
Bill.
Come on over here.
So anyway, I said...
It's impossible to take
I couldn't watch TV because electricity hadn't been invented yet. And so, I made up my own start.
Yeah, just let them be. Let them be. They've been here. They spend all night. Just take them over something nice.
Waiter, there's a snorkel in my soup.
Yeah, listen.
Lottie, Lottie, what's the matter with us? We're walking around like we just missed the bus.
There were 10 little bozos sitting on a bus. One joined the Navy, now there's 9 of us. 9 little bozos sitting in the draft. One went crazy and the rest all laughed. 8 dumb bozos riding in a van. They can't get there, then no one can.
Everyone's a bozo on this bus. Zips and Bean are sitting next to us. Are you a hostage? Are you a spy?
Just some berserker who's prepared to die.
We left 8 stupid bozos sitting in a tub. One got poached and had to leave the club. 7 mellow bozos with their brains all fried. One threw in the towel and the rest all cried. 6 frightened bozos tied up in a spot. One dove out the window but the rest got caught.
Walking around like we got nothing to show. Walking around like we got no place to go. Call up the agent now to book us a cruise. Someplace we can lose these walking around blues.
Give me immortality or give me death. That's the motto here at Ralph's Ball Sports, new and used body shop in the city of the future. Hi, friends, Ralph's Ball Sports here to tell you that everybody must die, but you don't have to be there when it happens. That's why we're having a great going out of body sale. Yes, you can live forever while your friends fall apart around you like rotten fruit, and here's how. lease an organ or limb from our headless body farm. It's made in America from Americans. Enter the new century with these exclusive clone-ons. Nap velour designer jeans, deluxe follicle hair mat grafting with upgraded media-sensitive stimulated wrapper filler, rear roll, non-glossy carbon intensified glute guards, power moons, and tinted tint grill spoilers in slash dash or faux flannel. So come on down to Ralph's Ball Sports, City of the Future, and do it today, because there may not be a tomorrow.
Talking transplant blues. Now, the doc said I only had a week left, but he could make me immune to death just by cutting out my heart. Well, he had a degree, so we must be smart. I said, okay, doc, but make it neat. And quick as a flash, my old pump's transplanted to a needy athlete. Then he fills my veins with alcohol and a motorcycle engine to pump it all. Pretty soon, I was off to Japan. Met another girl to prove I still can. Moved around most sensuously. Worked in a factory making harpsichord keys. Painted pictures of the sea. Wanted to learn English, just for me. We used to listen to Bach over bottles of beer. It looked to be a pretty good year. She said, beer's my gasoline. I heard my engine cough. I said, I know what you mean. But I had to go away till the year's end. When I came back, she'd married my friend. Another English teacher. He even had a car. He gave me his smoke, said, I know they'll go far. I hope I didn't break your heart, said she. What heart, said I, from eternity. And lighting a cigarette on a sparking plug, I drove on down the road. Now the moral here is as clear as a hair on my head. The next time someone offers you eternity, ask him for the time instead. Or maybe Newsweek.
Christmas. Old man's boys give a gift. A lump of kitten. Infinitely smaller than Mountain, but with the same sharp claws. And New Year's, 25, we're a third of the way through. The rustle of a flight of geese overhead, muted as Mountain. The hell of it is, thinks the old man, how it all musically fades away. It was a long winter. This is as these writers used to do. They would write poems for their friends, they would write obituary poems, they would write traveling poems and so forth back in the 8th century, 9th century. And this is for Ron Patterson, who created the Renaissance Pleasure Fair. I'm asked to play this later. For Ron, you old bohemian, master of the revels, may you lead a heavenly May parade of capering jesters, bold-breasted dames, tipsy comedians, virile frontman for the actor's life. The old man found you a model of misbehavior, gone to lead the clouds in dancing. Farewell, adieu, drink up. And the Renaissance Fair, which was one of the really important things in my life. I was at the Renaissance Fair from the beginning, broadcast it the first fair in 1963. I broadcast it live on the air. And you can go to the fair site, the Renaissance Fair site, and listen to that broadcast, 45 minutes. For the next several years, I was the herald of the fair, and ultimately the mayor of the Renaissance Fair. As a theatrical experience, there is nothing like having to work with hundreds of people a foot away from you, or 2 feet away, in an accent that you're not comfortable with, yet maybe, selling something, just entertaining. That was the great improv experience. And if anybody wants to know how to improv, the Renaissance Fair is the place. You got to do it in another voice, another character. It's really, really good. I'm not an improv person that is like my granddaughter, who's like improv. They got rules for all that. There's no rules. I don't do improv with rules. Fog. Old man fog. Mountain two, fog. Slow dancing. Winter morning. With the old man. The way you look tonight. Hardly moving. She and the old man in the mists of love. Mm-hmm. Mouse lavender sky, lengths of velvet dawn, inked into the east. Old man ponders the weight of guilt. Old man hunts mountain, golden device on the flag of the north, winter afternoons. I'm pretty quiet, says the old man. Me too, says mountain. Old man walks like an old man, clumsily, not stumbling exactly, but his feet hurt individually differently. So he walks with care, not to stumble or fall or break an important bone. And with all this chill rain, mountain may have gone to Mexico. Winter four. Well, well, mountain's got a halo on, a flying saucer hat, a Zeppelin chapeau, a mirror for its icy face. Old mountain about to fade. Old man spies on it from the bottom of his glass. Third day of snow. Old man looks out on mountain briefly before it retreats. Old man lives by himself these days. Spoons from a bowl, hugs his kitten, follows footprints in the snow, and mountain rules the sky again.
Holy moly, what's the matter with our feet? They're sorry and sore, been too long out on the street. They look and feel like something out of the lost and found. They're weary and weathered and worn out from all this walking around. Let's go downtown, get us some new shoes, and we'll boogie and woogie away these weathered and worn out blues. Boogie! A boogie woogie!
Thirty-five years ago, the Fire Sane Theater had a radio show called Radio Free Oz.
Oh, I thought it was Odds. All these years, I thought it was Radio Free Odds because of the strange people. Gosh, what a revelation.
Well, do you feel old tonight? I'd like to ask one of you, each of you, to
talk.
Peter Bergman was the wizard on Radio Free Oz. He seemed to be eternally youthful. Pete, do you feel any older?
No. The child inside, right? The child inside.
Wait, no, that's my child. Give me that.
No,
that's
right. No. Okay. I feel a lot better
your
now.
Your child was underneath there.
Yeah, right? Well, my child feels a lot better. The child inside never really matures. Would you?
The child is.
Oh, that's yes.
Mr. Phil Proctor, do you feel you seem to you look quite a bit older because
me.
Of this hair? Yeah,
feel me. Am I harder than I used to be?
Well, you know, he never
so
used to have
speak.
Triceps at all in those days, and now he's.
No, he's got three. Right. He's got
I
three
have to work
now.
Out now. Yeah, we all have to work out. Once you get to over 60, you have to work out or you die.
And
yeah.
David Osman, who has always seemed to have been the oldest person, the steadiest among us, the wisest, who now seems to be the most adolescent and idiotic in many ways.
Yeah.
Are you going
my stroller?
Backwards?
I need my stroller to get up to the table.
I think he's into his third childhood now. Listen,
It's 1967 was so. I tell you, the Firesign Theater. I made Peter Bergman paid me $375 to be on this show. There it is, right there. Yeah,
the record of it.
Love
right
in
there.
Commercials. There you go, Peter
wow.
Bergman, $25.
No, that was Peter Bergman took $25.
Oh, he right? took that's yeah. right. I owe it. Yeah, still owed it to me. Yeah, right. Chad and Jeremy gave me $50. I don't know what I did for.
They
Chad
called
and
me
Jeremy.
The other day from England and said, "Where the heck were their love in kits?"
I remember I punched out Chad once. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
I got so mad.
He's still
the
hanging.
Results of that.
Still
yes,
hanging over
yeah,
there.
Right.
You know, growing old. Remember what Betty Davis said? Aging ain't for sissies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom, who's now 94, right? I was mm-hmm. on the phone with her. I called her 2 days ago.
That adds
ago.
Up to 13, you know.
Yeah,
bad luck for you.
She was in an assisted living place called Stone Gardens that, that we refer
Gardens?
To as Headstone Gardens. Stone Gardens, a family named Stone, the people that started American greeting cards, they paid for it. But it's Headstone Gardens, and I'm talking to my mom. I call up, and she says, "Peter," she says, "how can we be having this call? The phone isn't plugged into the wall."
You guys are very close.
Oh,
you guys have always been very close.
I said, "Mom, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Let's just talk." So, you know, we've got a long way to go before we get to that point.
I would like to say to you fellas that I've done something that you haven't, none of you done.
What's that?
I went into my local.
Oh, ah, damn.
That fly.
Warren, can we do something about the flies in here?
If we don't get the flies out of this studio. I went to the Social Security Administration.
Yeah.
And I registered. Yeah. Now, it's right behind the topless bar.
It is.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have to register.
You don't, but you can't drink there. Yeah, that's
the place, right?
That's the place. And do laptop dancing there, you know. But you get right in behind there, and there's the Social Security office. They got two stairways. One to heaven. Yeah. Well, the one to heaven is the one that you go. That's the third circle of hell up there. There's an armed guard. So you don't take your Social Security before they're ready. Yeah. Then the other one is for the fellas. If you go into room 105, that's where they shoot don't pay your child support.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Yeah, it's a heck of a building.
Well, they've gotten a lot more serious since we were in a state of war. And
this is a farewell for a friend, for Peter. Old master of the shaven head, who leaves a trail of gifts, keeps little but himself for himself, so long for now. Journey south from the snows and from mountain, past other fiery mountains south, where the sun dazzles the sea. We'll keep the beer ice cold for your return. Can winter 5 be the end of winter yet? Frosted waters blow north from the bay. Even this big wind can't blow away mountain, not its snows nor ice, just the tenacious clouds. Sun shines on the old man's path. The mist on the bay is too painterly, saith the old man. Two or three mornings there have been invisible birds. Mountain buried in mountains of Everests and Fujis can't hear a thing but snow falling. Kitten, grown, follows an old man, sleeps deep in his dreams. But at last it's spring. 40. Tsunami, time to go. Old man feels waves of anguish. Arabs having spring in Shalom. Snow in Japan falling on everything broken. It's snowing on the rubble and through the rotten weather trudge. Police in white helmets helpless. Snow white, masked and coveralled. Security scans everybody that's leaving. Old man counts the eagles fast traveling south. 1, 2, 3. After sunset, all grays, all blues, drives the radio, dishes washed, burgers coming up, pour the wine, mourn the dead. So many, this mountainless spring. Feel the radiation of fear, agony, violence in apocalyptic amounts, lonely, desperate, dead. A wave of clouds, a cloud of waves sweeps out of the ocean, and the old man prays for his lost and fearful, lonely son, dead on another mountain.
At my mother's memorial service in Goshen, Indiana, a few weeks ago, her minister, Alan Griffin of the First Presbyterian Church, told us a story. One day at the age of 80, John Quincy Adams met a friend while taking a walk on a Boston street.
Hi, John.
Good morning, said the friend. And how is John Quincy Adams today? John Quincy Adams himself is well, quite well, replied the ex-president. But the house in which he lives at the present is becoming dilapidated. It's tottering upon its foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are much shattered. The old tenement is becoming almost unlivable. And I think John Quincy Adams will have to move out of it soon. But he himself is well, quite well. That is just what happened to my mother. Her body, the house she had lived in for 87 glorious years, had finally worn out. But Audrey, her love of people and family, her faith and character and joy, still live on. Audrey is well, quite well, for she is now at home with God.
This is Nick Danger speaking. Repeating myself. Kind of slipping in and out of the actual guy that plays me, Austin, you know?
No one.
This week was the end of the life of a guy I knew only through his hobbies. I call this case the big death of the tiny doctor. Turned out I was one of his hobbies, or maybe a quarter of them, or more probably much less. The guy had a lot of interests and a lot of brain. His name was Lou, and he was a sweet and wonderful person who got us all through some troubles and who meant more to the Firesign Theater than I think he suspected. This is a good trait in a hobbyist, not to let the hobby get more important than it should. He was Tiny Dr. Tim to all of us, although his real name was Lou. He leaves behind Peggy Blisswips, whose real name is Connie, and who herself has been through some health hell lately. You know, the sweetness of the Tiny Doctor, his courtesy and unfailing cheerfulness were his legacy to those of us left in a Firesign Theater world, such as it is without him. And here's to us all, in a way, left bereft by the sudden exit of the guy who made us into the little community that we are. A place where finally were not our nicknames, but guys named Lou and girls named Connie. Here's to the two of them, from me and the blonde bombshell and my four dear partners. And thanks to all of you out there who keep us going astride the Paisley Horsey.
That was a great day. Let's move on.
One question. That was a beautiful eulogy to Tiny Dr. Tim, Lou Tibbetts, who died suddenly and unexpectedly between these shows.
Mercy, mercy, mama. Lottie, Lottie. Holy moly, what's the matter with everybody? Walking around looking like they're not getting enough sun. Walking around looking like they're not having enough fun. Call up the paper now and spread the news. We're gonna bring 'em and wing 'em and fling 'em, sling 'em, sing 'em the blues, yeah.
High above what's left of the Bay Area. The entire collection of islands had their memorial earthquake today, celebrating the day Vince Anthony recorded "Cast Your Wind to the Fate." May he cast forever.